Hello! It's Monty and Reyes versus Movies. I am Monty.
I'm Reyes.
And the movie we are going to versus is called Barbarian Queen.
Barbarian Queen.
Barbarian Queen.
Now, this movie came out in 1985.
2 years after Conan the Barbarian.
Sure. There was a big surge in fantasy movies, and we all know that Roger Corman was never a man to turn his back on a genre he could exploit.
Yep.
So this is a Roger Corman-produced movie filmed in Argentina.
Argentina?
Argentina.
I thought this movie was very bad. I'm just going to say that right up front. What did you think of it?
Well, here's the deal.
Yes.
I think that if I had seen this movie when I was a young girl,
it would have been wildly inappropriate.
It would have been the best movie I had ever seen in my life because, oh my God, it had a lady in it with a sword and she got to kill a bunch of people. And my standards were pretty low at that point.
Well, let's talk.
And I had seen a lot of fantasy movies and very few of them had a lady with a sword in them.
Well, let's talk about the lady-centric nature of this movie for a second. I could see it being empowering if you saw a movie in which a lady picked up a sword and did cool things. There's a lot of rape, though.
There is. But back in 1985, as a young woman who loved fantasy film, who loved the fantasy genre, you kind of learned to overlook that because you had to.
I feel like it would be hard to overlook anything in this movie because it is 71 minutes long. It is stripped down, just
literally,
like the actors. So there's not a lot of plot to get in the way.
No, and every time that they need to motivate a female character to do something, they just have someone attempt to rape her. Or sometimes they have someone attempt to rape another female character so that this female character can rescue the victim.
Yeah. Now, I will say, when the hero, the titular barbarian queen gets raped, she does kill the guy doing it with her vagina.
Yes. Yes, that is true. Somehow she has incredibly strong vaginal muscles, and I think we're led to believe that she pinches his genitals off.
Yes.
And then kicks him into a pit of acid.
He says, "Stop squeezing, you're too tight." And then he undoes her hands from the ridiculous torture rack she's on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she pushes him into a vat of acid. And in a later scene, we see that he has been reduced to a plastic skeleton.
A plastic skeleton that is still wearing his glasses and his yarmulke. Because I guess it was important to have the mad scientist be Jewish.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. It is a weird introduction of anti-Semitism into a movie which is already muddled with its message, or lack thereof.
Yeah. So here's how the movie goes. I'm going to run the plot. This will take 20 seconds.
Okay.
And then we can just jump around.
All right.
There is a tiny village, and the prince, Argon, is getting married. But, oh no, some guys come in on horses and kill everybody and kidnap everybody.
They kidnap the menfolk to take them as slaves.
Yes.
And they murder all the womenfolk and children, except for the ones that they decide to rape.
Yes, except for our hero, whose name I already forget, who is the Barbarian Queen.
Amalthea.
And maybe she and another girl survive. They go somewhere, rescue another couple girls, kill the people who captured them. They find another village that was destroyed.
They team up with those villagers who are rebels against the king.
They get snuck into the city and then get captured immediately. And the men folk are now gladiators.
Yes, the men who have been captured are being forced to be gladiators.
And the gladiators, we are told, get first pick of the slaves, which is gross.
Yeah, there's a lot of grossness in this movie.
So they're inside the city. They get captured. One of the girls, who looks a lot like a cut-rate Pia Zadora.
She does.
gets into the bed of the king.
I wonder if she was like a playmate.
I think she probably was.
Anyway, yeah.
And then eventually the plan is to rebel against the king.
Yeah. The slave girl convinces the gladiators that on Sunday at the big gladiator fight, everyone is going to rise up and fight the king. They get that message back to the villagers who hem and haw for a while and then decide, okay, whatever. We'll also attack on Sunday.
And on Sunday, the king, oh no, seems to know what's going on, and he has his men capture everybody. But they rebel anyway. The barbarian queen, in particular, is held down and about to be killed when the little kid who let them into the city tosses her a sword, and then
the tide of battle changes.
The tide of battle is important in this movie because while the plot isn't going on, it's usually a giant fight scene.
There are several giant fight scenes. I noticed that this film had a stunt coordinator but not a fight choreographer.
Now, I liked the big fights, although the first one went on about 10 minutes too long, in my opinion. But there's a good energy to the wide shots of people fighting. They'll zoom in, and there's going to be pretty clunky fight choreography.
Yeah.
But the clunkiness of the fight choreography meant that Lana Clarkson could do all her own stunts, and I think that was important for the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it was important she do her own stunts, even though sometimes it looked like she was sword fighting in slow motion.
Yeah, because, you know, hold your sword here to block, her sword here to block. And eventually the girl who got into the bed of the king kills the king while he's about to kill Lana Clarkson. Everybody cheers and the movie's over.
Yay, the rebellion has succeeded.
So, let's see.
Now, I think that the first thing I want to talk about is the barbarian village before it is invaded.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, the camera sweeps through the village and we see that these barbarians, and the word barbarian to me tends, I would think, means uncivilized and warlike. They're having a wedding day.
Barbarian means wears furs, especially a fur bikini in this movie.
Yes, the rabbit fur hot pants are plentiful.
Yes. Yeah, it's not clear how the village works.
There's going to be a wedding. One of the girls is face painting her boyfriend. That's a thing they do before the wedding.
And then he face paints her nipple. Well, nipple paints her nipple.
And then she giggles. It's to show that they love each other. Eventually, that girl who gets her nipple painted goes into the city and is one of the women trying to free the guys.
She's not the one that gets raped and murdered?
She is the one. No, she's the one who dies in the torture pit.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. Look, when I said I wanted to do fantasy films, I knew that they came.
Yeah.
With a price. And the price is... it's not a good time to be a lady in most fantasy films, even going up to and including Game of Thrones.
It's true.
It's a standard trope because fantasy was originally written as pulp fiction for men.
It's true. Red Sonja, who is awesome in comic books, not so awesome in movies, also has to deal with potential rapes pretty much constantly.
And is wearing a chainmail bikini, which is both impractical... Very pinchy.
Yeah.
And dumb. And I know that Gail Simone did her best in her run on the comics to explain that. That it's just to distract men. But no, it's just to leave most of your body naked so that you can be killed easier. That's not what armor is supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. Is this a fantasy movie?
Of course it is.
No magic.
Well, that is true, and we have had a discussion that I believe that fantasy is swords and sorcery, and there were more swords than sorcery, but I feel that because it takes place in a imaginary setting, the civilizations are not advanced.
Sure.
And people run around wearing rabbit fur pants. I feel that is enough to make it... I think that qualifies it as a fantasy movie.
All right. And it does have cool lines in it. Like at one point, apropos of almost nothing, she says, "I'll be no man's slave and no man's whore." And if I can't kill them all, then by the gods, they'll know I tried.
Yeah, that's a good line. Also, then they run into those other villagers who are saying, this little girl will sneak you into the city. And she looks at her and says, there are no little girls anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point, everybody's camping.
Oh, the children of the night.
The night children is this... something that feels like it was sketched in to be something,
right.
And they just read the sketched notes.
Yeah, it's like they're having dinner, and the one girl's still hungry, and she starts to eat this piece of meat, and the woman says, you have to save something for the night children. If an animal kills a person, the gods turn that animal into a child, and the child is doomed to roam these forests for all eternity.
And
what?
The one who wanted food goes, fine, I won't eat anything. And later, when they're sneaking through the castle, says something like, are there really night children? And that's it. Like,
and that is all the night children you get.
No,
is there going to be a sequel called Night Children? We don't know. We will never know.
There was a sequel.
There was a sequel?
There was a sequel.
Anyway, they never...
It was called Barbarian Queen 2, : The Empress Strikes Back.
Oh, man. I had no idea.
The poster was by Boris Vallejo. I think it was just the same. No, that's the same poster as Barbarian Queen.
Well, Boris Vallejo's got to pay his rent. So, yeah, this is... There were some things I liked about this movie. I liked that it was had very few male characters.
It's true. The main male character, Argon, who was supposed to be marrying Lana Clarkson, such a stiff.
Terrible actor. But it's all about rescuing these idiot men.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I like that aspect of it.
Sure. I thought Lana Clarkson did a good job.
I did too. I am sorry that she did not have a better career.
Yeah.
I think she deserved a better career.
At this time, she was doing a lot of TV shows, Riptides,
sure.
Knight Rider, A-Team, Hotel, Love Boat, that sort of thing.
Duck Magnum Duck.
Yeah. But
sure.
Her career ended kind of abruptly when she turned 30 or so.
That'll happen.
And when she was 40, Phil Spector killed her.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, that is
sucks.
A shame.
That's not a happy news. That's not happy news.
No, but
we don't want to bring that up.
I felt we had to mention it because this is, most people would have heard Barbarian Queen
as part of the trial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, my notes are things like the gladiators fight, village gets raided, surviving girls mount a rescue.
My notes are things like they have a gladiator corral.
They do.
The gladiators have to fight, but it's just like a horse corral where they're training them. They're making them fight so they can decide who goes on to the big match on Sunday.
Yeah, the sets are... There's one set that's good, and I think it might actually be a place where people live. And then when they're sneaking through
yeah,
the castle...
a village that looks pretty for some external shots. All of the houses in the barbarian village are little bamboo huts.
Yeah.
It's like they live on... It's like Gilligan's Island for those poor barbarians.
There's a lot of colored fabric that is hung dramatically to hide...
2x4s, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get a lot out of the colored fabric. They get a lot out of the lighting. Like, a lot of the indoor scenes, it's lit by torchlight. And I am sure that is to hide the fact that they're shooting in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah. I didn't like this movie.
I kind of liked this movie.
I'm glad you liked this movie.
I didn't hate it.
It's only 71. I didn't hate it. It's 71 minutes. A 71-minute sword movie is going to be fine no matter what.
I think it could have been better. It had hardly any dialogue.
Yeah. What it needed was another reel of dialogue.
Yeah. It needed someone to punch up the script or just to punch the script, honestly.
Like, there were a lot of ladies and no personalities or names.
I kind of got the feeling that Roger Corman was watching this movie with a stopwatch and saying, oh, I haven't seen a boob in 10 minutes. Somebody get their shirt off. Time for another rape scene. That's kind of how that felt to me. And I feel like they could have made this movie better if they had just given them other reasons to take off their shirts other than being raped. Like maybe they're taking a little bath or something.
you would think that Roger Corman would be well supplied with reasons for women to take their tops off.
You would. I mean, he's made a lot of movies, but I guess that because this happens in ye olden imaginary times.
No car wash scene, you're right.
Yeah, you can't have somebody washing a car. Because it takes place in ye olden imaginary times, it seems like they're less imaginative about that stuff.
It's true. They're like, what do you want to do this time? Well, we're obviously just going to do another rape scene.
Yeah, and I feel that unfortunately that is a trope in fantasy that does continue to modern day.
Now, I want to talk about this torturer a little more because I did not understand what was happening in this scene.
Okay, let's talk about the torturer.
So Lana Clarkson is tied up, kind of spread eagle, and there is a metal hand dangling down.
With a very pointy fingernail on it.
And it's
that is pointed toward her nipple, and apparently this is some kind of a torture device.
Yes, she's in pain or being stimulated or something. I couldn't tell from her performance.
Well.
And it's just dangling there. It's clearly not touching her
most
of the time.
No, it's clearly not touching her. It is literally a metal gauntlet with an extra, with one pointy finger. Is it supposed to be brushing up against her nipple? I don't know, but the torturer goes on a long, for this movie.
Yeah.
He has a lot of dialogue about this brilliant torture device he has invented, and it's basically a table with a glove on a string.
Yeah, I thought that was dumb, is I guess what I wanted to say about that scene.
That whole scene is so stupid.
But they were trying. Like, the costuming is mostly very generic, so putting him in a yarmulke
may not have specific... No, it...
It's...
And thick Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, you're starting to make me hate this movie now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's a victory for you. Congratulations.
I really liked the end of the movie where they won, everybody's cheering, and then end credits. We don't need any...
Yeah, we don't need to know if she went on and married the prince. We don't need to know any... There is no follow-up. There is nothing. There is a battle scene, and then she and the prince hug each other, and then roll credits.
Yes.
Did the rebellion work? Has the king... Well, the king's been killed by his favorite concubine.
Yes.
The aforementioned dollar store Piazzadora.
See, what she does is she's taken captured, so she's a slave, but she says, I want to see the king. And she goes to see the king and she says...
The king's like, oh yeah, I remember we raped you back in Act 1. You're pretty hot. Why don't you be my personal lady slave?
She's like, I'm still hot and I want a dog. No, I want a cat. And the king says, well, okay, little lady, and has another lady get out of his bed, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Now, Piazzadora is hanging around instead of a rabbit fur push-up bra, an actual fancy leather push-up bra.
And now she's perfectly set up to eventually pull a knife and kill him, which she does.
Yeah, it's a little creepy because although I know that the actress is in her 20s, she looks younger, and it's just kind of gross.
How sure are you that she was in her 20s?
I don't want to look.
Okay. Well, it's
that's
hard.
How sure I am. I'm so sure that she was in her 20s that I do not want to know.
Okay.
What's her name?
That's Susanna Traverso.
Susanna Traverso.
She was born 1953, which means she's...
53?
That can't be her.
That would put her in her 30s.
That's not her.
Is not her. That girl was definitely not in her 30s.
Oh, it's Dawn Dunlap as Taramis.
Taramis. That's right. I thought her name was Taramisu.
The IMDb bio for her starts off calling her adorable baby doll brunette beauty queen Dawn Dunlap. Had a regrettably fleeting film career.
Baby doll brunette. Oh, that poor girl.
21 when the movie came out, so you are
21.
Fine.
I'm fine. I'm not fine with that, but I mean, if I had my say, I would rather have her not be raped at all, but at least they're not raping an 11-year-old?
Yeah.
Man, I have got to make a lot of allowances in order to like this movie. More than usual.
Well, I think the allowances you're making, like, if you had seen it when it came out.
If I had seen it when it came out, because remember, there weren't a lot. All the fantasy novels and stuff I had been reading were written back during pulp novel times, where the female characters were an afterthought at best.
Yeah, it's just as many rapes as this story, but also they're just there to get rescued by the men, not rescuing men.
Yeah, exactly. There's just as many rapes, but nobody thinks anything of it or does anything of it. At least in this movie, the women were able to pick up swords and in some cases, and in most cases, murder the people who had raped them.
That's true. There are scenes where...
And I feel like that's a little better than just being raped and then becoming an afterthought who is next seen clinging to the hero's leg.
I buy that. There's a scene where one of the girls, I don't know which one, wanders into an alley and gets raped by a couple guards.
That's not even one of the girls. That's just a random lady from the city.
Well, anyway, Lana Clarkson sees it and says, well, I can do something about this, and charges in to defend her. And that's nice. She does get captured right away, but still.
Hey, yeah, she does get to, she does kill a guy, one of the rapers, so.
Yeah.
Eh, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our review of the movie. If you like boobs and you are not terribly put off by rape, which, please be terribly put off by rape. I mean, seriously.
Ryus is now going to select the movie that we will watch next.
I hope it's not something terrible, she says, thinking back on all the names she wrote down to put in this box of movies. I have one. I have one. And it is, oh, God be praised, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Conan the Barbarian.
Arnold Schwarzenegger in Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, that has a lady in it with a sword, and I liked her a lot. She was my favorite. It was Sandahl Bergman as Valeria.
I've heard of Conan the Barbarian. You got any history with Conan the Barbarian?
Well, there wasn't a movie theater in the town where I grew up. As we mentioned in the Sword and the Sorcerer intro, there was one like 10 miles. And Conan the Barbarian came out, and I made my parents take me to the theater to see it.
Good.
And then I snuck back to see it as many times as I could still in the theater, which was like 2 because I was pretty young. But I did see it multiple times in the theater, and back then the only movies you saw multiple times in the theater, this was not in the day. Back in the 70s and 80s, in my town, you usually would only see a movie once in the theater. The only movies I got to go see multiple times were Conan the Barbarian and the Star Wars movies. And I had to be a horrible brat to be taken back to Star Wars movies. Because my parents thought they were okay, but they weren't really into them.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I would just get dropped off at the theater and they'd go do something.
Well, I am excited. But I've watched Conan the Barbarian, I think, twice ever.
Oh, I've seen it so many times.
Well, I'm looking forward to versusing it with you.
Yay!
Goodbye.
Goodbye.